Mambo Vipi, what's happening? My name is Anyiko Owoko and I am a lover of arts, culture and everything African. And here, we grant you front row access to your favorite celebrities, creators, the biggest personalities and industry experts. Come with me, you're now a VIP. Welcome back to VIP Access. When I say that this is a home of Africa's biggest personalities, I am not kidding. My guest today is absolutely amazing. He's the energy god. He's the hype man. He's the broadcaster you want to work with. He's the influencer. I mean, the favorite influencer to your favorite influencer. So I'm saying he's very influential. And it's such an honor to be sitting here with none other than Dotun from Nigeria. Welcome, my brother.
You already know it. Thank you for that introduction. You know, it's like I said, sometimes the interviewer becomes the interviewee.
Yeah, right? And for me, this is really a surreal moment. I think anybody who knows Dotun, especially, you know, those who come from the entertainment industry, know what big of a deal you are. And you're one of the people who've opened a lot of doors for me in Nigeria. You know, when you didn't kind of know me so well, you hadn't even met me, but you were so kind to me. I remember when I came to Lagos, I think in 2019 or maybe before that, I actually called you. Someone gave me your number and I just said, hello, this is Anyiko from Kenya. And already you're like, whatever you need, whatever you want, welcome to Cool FM. You booked my interview. You were not there that day, but, you know, I had a whole hour to myself. And I just said, what a wonderful and humble and open individual, because you're such a big deal, but you act like you're not. But most importantly, you open doors for, you know, young people and the creative. So I just want to say thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I feel like I appreciate it sometimes because the job and what we do, and I'm sure you're in that space now because where you work so hard and then, you know, you work to grow people to the next level. You're part of their life. You're impactful. But the listing and room that doesn't cost money, they just never tell you. And that's thank you. People don't understand that thank you is a big deal. And that's why a lot of creatives and talents who grow, like you said, sometimes I feel like I always have to check myself and ask myself, and I keep telling myself that you're not big yet. Even when I go out and sometimes I'm there and people see the way things are preserved, the way people talk to me and the way people acknowledge what I do. But it's just my way of keeping myself in check. Now, the biggest thing is, people don't know how far thank you can go. So you telling me thank you, because the truth is, I can choose to throw away any chance that I have. You choose to be selfish about it. But I feel like at the end of the day, the only way for me to light my candle is light yours. But people do not say thank you, and it doesn't cost money. And that's a big, big issue for me. That was why when Rema came out and said, accolades to all the institutions, there's a reason why he said that. It was an uproar from people who have done the work for years or people still in business joining them because we felt very included for that statement he made. Because why should that even sound so sacred to say thank you? But it's a big deal for a lot of talents and creatives who never do that. And also, I always tell people, always remember the people that were there the first time that you never had the chance and they gave you that door and opened that door for you. You cannot do it by yourself. You know, some people will tell you, oh, maybe I paid him money. That's not my case because the fact is, I've learned to build myself outside the pennies and I don't want to be penny wise, pound foolish. So what I want to do is able to light someone's candle. I mean, recently, Adekunle did an interview with a guy called Tayo Aina Films and he talked about it and it was shocking to a lot of people. But the truth is, I can tell tons of stories of people that was there from the first day I took that chance. You know, like I said, the only difference with me and everybody else is that I think it's just the fact that I've been able to work through this phase and hoping God comes through, and he does. And that's why there's nothing you can tell me about God. Number one, it's a top-notch for me. I feel like I would never have been here except somebody just looks down on me and say, oh, I like this kid. And it's just grace. And that's what have kept me on to this day, and goodwill. And you have to be humble while you do that. Mm-hmm. So humility is a very big deal. A lot of people don't have it. You get small money, you get bigger, your head gets bigger. Then that's when you know the real, real work starts. But like I said, sometimes when people judge me and think, oh, that guy's an arrogant guy. Some people come on social media and say, oh, he did this for me. And then people are shocked. You know, the truth is, like I said, I don't want to get my blessings from anybody. But I also feel like sometimes saying thank you goes farther than what you can expect. And that's why I want to give a shout out to you and everybody else. I know what you feel. You just might never talk a lot about it, but, you know, it's the same feeling when you just want people to grow.
Yeah.
It's hard. Yeah, you want people to grow. And then you feel like at the end of the day, oh, you've grown. And just when I need you, come through for me. But it's not the case. Sometimes when people blow up and get bigger, they become inaccessible.
And now I relate to everything you said, because I look back at some artists who I've worked with, or some people who have been part of their journey, and sometimes to also hear them say, yo, we did this together and thank you. And so even I crave for that sometimes. Everybody craves for that. And it's just like someone seeing you.
It's necessary, because that way, acknowledgement, compliments give you that belief that you're doing the right thing, you know? And sometimes you might not really project the money, but you are aware that, oh, what I'm doing makes sense. It may eventually grow. And at the end of the day, if I can light up someone's life and light someone's candle, that means I'm doing something right. I have to do it for money or do it for goodwill. The part of goodwill is you might get poor doing that. Yeah, and everybody you're trying to grow are making the money, but you're not making anything.
Yeah.
So you got to pray to God if grace is going to come. And if it doesn't come, you also have to turn whatever you're doing for anybody and be able to turn it and monetize it.
Yeah.
The truth is, we're here, we're there, people are growing. I mean, I was a young kid straight out from the street for Sule, and I just said, you know what, I want to be one of the best people doing this thing, but I want to do it at my own pace. When people tell you, oh, you need to do this, or people tell you, you know, maybe you should try this, you try that, do this. I'm like, I know, I want to try it. I love it, but I like to pace myself.
Hmm.
You know, that's why longevity, that's it for me. Legacy, it is for me. Staying relevant, that is for me. You know, I'm not the richest guy, but I'm okay. And that's what I want to be.
Wow, wow, wow. It's so hard to interview the person who's supposed to be interviewing me. Damn. So, you are somebody who's, you know, done it all in the media industry, entertainment industry, from radio to TV to, you know, emceeing, hosting, dancing, and then, you know, being the energy god and just really infecting crowds with your energy and just moving people with your voice. And the voice is so powerful. You have a really powerful voice. Like when you speak, it's commanding. I just want to hear what you're saying, you know. So I believe that you're also born to do this. So tell me about transitioning from just a media personality to this individual who's moving masses, not just within the media space, but outside, you know. And now you're in Kenya even. Yeah. How did you, you know, cross over to East Africa?
So for me, for everything that I've grown is out of lack. Now, for example, if you're from the streets of where I come from, shout out to Wizkid, who's also from Surulere. It was a hub where you find a lot of aspirers and till date, but you don't know where the next door will open. But it's a place that gives you hope that, you know, you can get out. And now the only hope you might have is when you see through the eyes of other people who went through that phase and passed it. I grew up in a very small house. I had to walk through a swamp to get to my house. The first time I dropped the video where I was from and where I lived, people were shocked. But the thing is, I had very, very intentional parents that just wanted you to be different from other kids. You might not have all the best in the world, I mean, but they want you to have all your books. They want you to have your snacks at the right time, not things overboard. And then, you know, just a young guy who's trying to be a building engineer waiting for the next contract. And you have a mom who is very into God, deeper life straight up till date. And she just loved God and she was a nurse. And, you know, even when things were not popping, nobody ever knew, because she just wanted to wear Christmas clothes, eat the right food, you know, and all that. But it was a one bedroom, you know, there. But when I get out, when I wear nice clothes, it never seems like that, you know.
And a very supportive dad.
Absolutely.
Only this morning we're at an interview and your dad is, you know, waking up, I don't know what time in West Africa, to see what, you know, his son is doing in Kenya and shouting you out. So I think it's always something that will move you when you always get the support from the people who matter the most, like your parents.
Yeah. He always inspires me. He's a big fan of what I do. My dad will be the first, one of the first to send you messages and tell you good, want them to know much about you and all that. Quite different from how I used to grow up with him, because I know sometimes in the toughness, he might be tough on you, but it doesn't mean he loves you less, right?
Yeah.
So those are kind of things that have shaped my transition. When I say it's lack, I want to move ahead.
Hmm.
I don't want to be here. I always told myself that. And then I started a career in dancing, which was then, it was out of the fact that I was in a school where, but there was nothing fun about it. It was a mass communication school, but it was just too serious. And then I was like, everybody gets out of class And what's happening? He was like, well, I was going to just the same high school that I left. And I'm like, you know what? Even the high school had more fun. So I said, you know what? I always wanted to be a guy who was a really witty, fun. I was always open-minded back in school. And then I just felt, you know what? I used to watch a lot of videos and music, like Michael Jackson. That was one of the first guys that passed that really made me cry, right? Because I felt he went through a lot before he gave it up. But it was phenomenal. There's no other person. There's only one Michael Jackson. Mm. And then I used to watch a lot of videos from the guy they call Wade Robson. He was very popular on MTV at that time. So, and then I used to watch a lot of dance shows. And that was what it was. I said, you know, dancing is cool. I think I could try. But you know what? I thought it was nice because that was out of lack. But then it was only satisfying a bunch of guys who don't care. And at the end of the day, I said, you know what? I wanted to get on mainstream. And then I started to do music videos. And then from there, I got on some popular music videos. But that was it. It was nothing. Because at the end of the day, it didn't translate to what I wanted. Because at the end of the day, even if you were hanging out with the biggest stars or you were, you know, dancing in, you know, hottest music videos or dancing at events or gigs behind any artist, the truth is they still lack. Because at the end of the day, you are on the food chain. You're the list guy. So you're going to lack in funds. And also you're going to get disrespected while doing a craft. So dance was not respected at that time. And I felt, you know, it lacked something. And I think they needed a depth. And I said, you know what? I'm moving from this phase. Because at that time, I had a dad who used to buy me transistor radios, make me read a book every day, make me read newspapers every week, and make me watch shows on TV. So sometimes when I comment on old shows on social media, people are like, wow. But my dad made me watch all those shows, very educative. And there was a show I never liked, but he made me watch it, Food Basket. It was very serious. It was on a popular national TV, but I didn't like it, but he made me watch it. But what I liked, it was the analysis of a guy who talks about food, and he was very comprehensive about it. And then I said, you know what? And he used to make me listen to a Voice of America, Chaka Sali, always every night before I go to bed, I listened to it. So he didn't know it was shaping me. And then I started to love some guys on radio, like Steve the Sleek Kadiri, rest in peace, Tokwe Brown, rest in peace. I started to listen to guys like that who had great voices on radio, very distinct. Their vision was very different from anything. And then that was when I started to think I could do a radio commentary where I can talk about music, talk about life, culture, lifestyle, and be able to have a good conversation. But then I was a horrible guy who didn't know how to speak properly, you know, at that time. And I said, how do I do this? The first thing is, okay, I'm going to school. I'm going to actually major in mass communication. And then my dad said, oh, your uncle's a doctor. I said, I'm the kind of guy, put me to see a patient, I might forget the scissors in your tummy. So I don't think you want me to be a doctor, actually. And he was like, you know what? I remember the day he sat just across the room, dim lights, and he told me, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to do mass communication. And that's what I majored in school. So I was very deliberate about that. Now, I didn't know where exactly that was going to take me, but it was also out of lack. I got to school. I was there, witty guy, brilliant in school, quiet, best guy, maybe to my 300 level. I was very young. I was the guy who was talking. I just get up and everybody wants to listen. I cracked people. I was very non-serious, quite playful. And then I started a dance group called Extreme. That was how we kicked off. I used to bring recorders to school, a deck in a bag, you know, and played at the center of the class. And I just rocked with it. And then I started to have people join the group. One of the guys in my group at that time is the guy who choreographed P-Square Till Date,
ooh.
Flex. Yeah. That's ooh. My guy.
That's just the thing. Oh, my God. Because when we talk about pop culture and we talk about just African achievement, excellence, you were right there. Because I remember when I interviewed Rude Boy from P-Square, I was telling him these are the first music videos that showed Africans that we could match up to the international or American videos that were on MTV. And I remember him saying, we were just tired of seeing people shooting videos by their cars or whatever. We just wanted to show that we can do it as well as any other person. And we had to do big budget videos, do well choreographed videos, and that's really what defined P-Square as a brand. It wasn't just the music, but it was the look, the dancing, the choreography. At some point, they were performing, and I could see MJ inspirations in some of their movements, and now you're letting me know that that has been part of your story.
Yeah. The thing is, you also have to give them a lot of credit because they were one of the people that just stuck to, you know what, dance will thrive. And then they didn't stop till date and they're still doing it.
Yeah.
And that's how Flex grew a career in choreography.
Yeah.
He was a better dancer than I am. Mm. I remember one time we won Best Dancer and we had to share it. You know, so he went on to push on that, but I wanted more.
And then hungry he grew, for more.
I'm that guy. My hunger is not burning. It's necessary. Because that way I feel like a lot of people look up to me and I'm not going to drown and just fizzle out. I want to rest when I have to, but it's what I love. I make my job a hobby for me. So it makes me happy. Dance was just something I did. And then I said, you know what? I'm going to bring this back. Well, how do I bring this back? Then I got on radio. Now, to get on radio was another tough business for me because then I was in class and another guy called Nzeribe, who happened to be, there's a body called APCON, who they're the ones in charge of adverts, and he was the chairman at that time.
Mm.
So he told me, he said, listen, I have access to radio stations. You're a very witty guy. I like you. You're very serious. Sometimes I like the way you speak to people and how you talk. You're a people's man. And so, you know, it'd be nice if you could do radio. I said, that would be nice. He said, what? And he mentioned three radio stations. He said, Cool FM. He mentioned Rhythm FM. And he mentioned MITV. Now, MITV, I didn't like it because I'm like, no, I wanted a futuristic station, which at that time I felt like the shows were so traditional and, you know, archaic, but great. I mean, because he services some type of crowd, but that's not what I wanted to major in. And then at that time, Rhythm was popping, but I felt Cool FM just had the type of vibe that I wanted.
Hmm.
And I said, you know what? I'd like to work at the radio station. I said, Cool FM, instantly. And the guy said, okay, I'll see what I can do. And I chased the guy for almost 2 months. He's so rest in peace now, he passed. And it was the one time he saw me. I said, yo, Dosun, you're always disturbing me. I said, I want to do this thing. He said, you're always disturbing me. You know what? Just call the guy. He called the guy and said, just go, 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 go. And I walked into Cool FM November 1st, 2004 as an intern. And then that's when all the madness started. Because now hierarchy is very key in the broadcasting space. Now is a lot different now because these days you find kids who can just put one or two words together and then give them a job. That's why you can see the older guys lasted longer because they earned it. The younger ones don't because they don't even see the essence of it. It's just a job to them. But for me, it was a passion and a legacy. So for everything that it was thrown at me, I was ready to take it. First of all, even there was a time I gave my name Deal to the TUN, and a top broadcaster said in the meeting, I said, what kind of a name is Deal to the TUN for a radio name? It's a shitty name. I think I'm going to mention the name in my next book. I'm going to write a book when I turn 40. But he was also pushing me because he was also a great guy. There was like a devil with a saint covering as well. You know, he had his bad days and those bad days, but he was also training me. So I want to give a big shout out to the likes of Daddy Freeze, likes of Olisa, the likes of Manny. I brushed up on everything.
Hmm.
My first audition, you don't want to hear it. It was shitty. Like, I listened to myself, like, how the hell did I sound like this? I sound stupid. It didn't even work. And then there was always a house style.
Hmm.
You have to sound a certain way. You have to have a type of carriage.
Hmm.
And everybody fits in a different show. And that was it. I just started working on myself. It was a time they came and doing an interview for me one time. I thought, you know, when you've grown. And I looked at the guy and said, where you're putting cameras, that's where I used to sleep. And the guy was shocked. I said, that used to be my bed where you put those cameras on and you want to celebrate me. That used to be where I used to sleep. And I was like, really? Yeah. So I used to bother for people, night shows. And then when I started to grow, I used to collate songs. I used to do a chart that was going to 13 states in the country. The biggest stars, think about them. And sometimes when I hear people say, oh, what did you do for me? It cracks me up. Because, you know, I feel like if I have to do my own podcast, hell will let loose. Because the truth is, they all live in a bubble. Once they grow, they're big, they're all in a bubble, you know?
Yeah.
But then I used to reach out to a guy, rest in peace, his name is Tom Rounds. That was a guy that I used to collaborate with radio stations here. And I had a chat with him. I tried to talk to him that I couldn't send music from here, which you can put on CDs that go to top radio stations in America. So the first guy that ever got on that was Ice Prince. And Ice Prince is another great guy who returned the favor by letting me open his show as a hype man in London. The first guy that ever gave me that shot.
The energy God created.
Somehow. But Ice Prince acknowledged it. These little things. You know, I used to sit in a corner for hours. I would audition CDs and songs. So there was a song I used to love at that time because I'm like, when am I going to get my own shot? I'm here working hard in a corner. I research music, do all of that, label CDs, music, have to listen to like over 1,000 CDs, in 3 days, 4 days. It's crazy. And then you have to collate the songs and all that and label them, rack them. And then at the end of the day, I was burning out. So I used to listen to a song from Lighthouse Family, Free. I wish I could. So it's like, I love what I'm doing, but I'm not earning anything. I walk from bus stop to bus stops with no money in my pocket. And my dad told me one day, how long do you want to do this? You know, I've walked from crazy places to get to work. No money, just to get on the bus.
The Lagos heat?
Yeah, crazy. You know, that's why sometimes people don't know when they speak to me on social media. I have a tough skin now. I've been through it. And then I'm not the kind of guy who begs. So I just didn't know how, because we're also a very closely knitted family. With whatever we have, we're content. I think those things touch me, contentment. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm able to stay humble. No matter what I have, whatever I do, I just try to stay in that box. So it was tough, to be honest. It was really tough. So I used to cry a lot. People don't know I get emotional, right? I'm the kind of guy I can watch movies and cry.
I always kind of knew that you were kind of like a teddy bear.
Yeah, inside.
Like soft inside, tough outside.
I don't know if people see that. And I think sometimes even the closest people and loved ones take advantage of it. I come across as tough. I'm very misjudged. But the thing is that the business and what I've done and life, how people have treated me, have toughened me up. But you got to know me to get it.
To get the real you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's the part I don't really show every time. And that's what made me so outspoken about my so many things. People are too scared to tell the truth. I'm not one of those guys.
I think people would even be scared of calling you. I was scared of calling you when I was given your number, because even the friend who gave me an industry person didn't want to call you and say, I'm with Anyiko. Just call the tune, say who you are. So it took me a lot, you know, even when I had to email you, I was like, I hope I don't make any mistake. But I'm so honored, you know, to have you at my podcast and, you know, to be able to talk to you. And yeah, you're really down to earth. You're really humble. And I'm still very thankful for all the opportunities you've opened for me, which are endless, you know, from West Africa to Kenya all the way. But I want to ask, then how did you crack that code? You know, many years of doing what you're passionate at and not actually making the money. What would you say was the breaking point of that just changed the game for you?
The breaking point for me financially, first let me start with, you need to dare to be different. Yes, I was a broadcaster like everybody else, but I was different. Maybe it was a job that was seen as you're just someone behind the microphone, but not a pretty face. That was how it was played back at home. They just, oh, they're not always looking good, but they have a great voice. And I'm like, no, I'm different. You know, I might not look good, but I will look good. So the little things I have, I started to say, you know what? I decided to invest in myself, you know, try to look the part. And then I think I'm one of the crop of broadcasters that said, it's more than radio. You know, it's just more than a pretty face or a great voice. There's a lot more to me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I wanted to prove when I started, when I got my own shot. Because I said, no, I'm not going to be the guy who's going to be behind the scenes. So the break for me was my interviews were different. My conversations on the radio were different. The way I sounded was different. The way I dressed. Sometimes I could wear what you would not even think I'm going to wear, but I'm going to rock it. Like, you know?
You're so different. Even today, looking at you, the first thing I saw, I was like, I want those pants. And then I looked at your kicks. I didn't have time to say, those are the sickest kicks.
Thank you very much.
You know, the personality is definitely different.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And it's not something that is very resonates with broadcasters. So a shout out to likes who people who chain that face. People like Tools, Mimi,
Kemi.
Kemi Smalls. Talking Mac and Wild.
Of course.
Yeah, so they started to look above. The breakthrough for me was a radio allowed me to discover myself and a lot of things. And then I realized it's also another lack. I'm going to do this job for how many years? Am I going to make money for it? Broadcasting doesn't make money. It's just a platform that projects you to the next level, but people don't see that. You have to see it as a platform and as a springboard. It's not going to give you the money you want. It's only going to put you in the room and put you where you can make money. But he's not going to give you the money. If you leave off that money or you leave off the salary, you're not going to make nada for yourself. I was very privy to that and I was quick to understand that. And I said, you know, there's lack in something. The hospitality business had great spent money, but there was no life in it. It was just something that people just go for parties and go home without having fun. And I'm like, you know, there can be a party no matter what it is, and there can be energy in that room. It could be a party about knowing how to brush your teeth. It could be a party about dental care. It could be a party about, you know what, we're talking about law, or, you know, how to read contracts. Or it could be anything, a party about anything. it's already serious. Now, that's why you see in Nigeria, everything has an after party now. You know, because now then it was not that case and it was out of luck. And I said, you know what, bro, I need to start something different.
Let's party.
That's it. And that's when I started hype.
Let's put some hype into
Absolutely. And that's
whatever
when,
it is.
And it was there already. Shout out to Special Ed. Special Ed was one of the, so hype is in different faces. Mm. Special Ed was one of the guys who, he still hides behind Davido. And he used to be with a group called Mo Hits at that time. It was like the DJ Khaled who jumps on the tracks, you know, he'll do voice drops and it'll be larger than life. Like, I like this. As a guy they called Larry D2, who was a popular hype man in the UK, but at bars, he used to do it at bars. Then what I did is I said, I need to brush up on this. Even if I stand behind any artist, how do I make them put this in the boardroom and bring it to corporate parties and, you know, and weddings and stuff like that? Then it was nothing. If you're going to go jump on the mic, the first thing you think, who's this guy making a lot of noise? Everybody wants to be in a straight jacket and wear suits, and everybody was an MC. I'm like, you know what? I could double as both. And then I started as an MC, and I got tired of it. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. There's too many people, master ceremonies, fighting for the same job. No, lack. And then I just started on radio, Party Club Mix. It was a show called Party Club Mix on Cool FM. And then I started to listen to, I watch a lot of Bashment, watch a lot of Jamaican shows. And it was already popular in the UK then. When you have a guy on a microphone, it's grinding, rocking a microphone, and a DJ is playing. Mm. And shout out to the likes of Tim Westwood.
Of course.
And I said, you
Pioneers,
know what?
Yeah.
Then, you know, let's put this on the radio. And then it was a DJ and myself, and we started to rock it. And at the time, it was DJ exclusive. You know, he was from the UK, came. I'm like, let's do it. And I told him, it's something we could do. And so let's kick it off. And then you decided to have a party where you have a DJ on the radio with a guy hyping on the microphone seamlessly. And then with voiceovers, you know, doing production, knowing how to produce jingles. I already knew what voice control is. Don't disturb the music. Unlike a lot of hype men now these days, they just disturb the music. You know, and make a lot of noise. Sometimes let the music play. I know they want to hear your voice, but play with the music, you know. And that's why I said, you know, let's make it simple. Because radio, you don't want anybody in the car just hearing a guy just calling the microphone. So it was beautiful. And then the first party we ever got booked for a club was Deuces. And then I was like, oh, this is actually different. This can work. And then they booked both of us to do it. And I started to build. One day somebody called me. I said, what are you doing? Does this make sense? It's noise. I said, don't worry, wait for it. And then I became a guy who was a hype man that can jump on your tables anytime. I don't care who you are. And I'm like, you know what? Don't come to my party. I was so intentional. So my go-to is I want a smile on everybody's face. Sometimes I want you to be shocked. I want you to be stunned. And then I just said, you know what? Everybody said, this, your energy is different. DJ just said, you know what? I'm the energy god. And I watched the movie, a Mortal Kombat movie. I play video games. I always love Raiden. I don't know why I love Raiden. Raiden is a god. He was humble, very cool, but he was the most powerful. He can make Liu Kang, anybody, to do what they want. And I said, you know what? I like this guy. I can embody this, bring it to a party, come in like, who is this guy? When I pick up the mic, I'm a different guy. Some people even think, oh, is this guy on drugs? I don't even smoke. I've never smoked before. Yeah, I'm an occasional drinker, but the thing is, I take a lot of water when I'm doing my stuff and when I jump on stage, and that was how I nailed it. Gradually, that was a turning point for me. As a matter of fact, hype used to make a lot of money for me. My first house I bought was through hype.
Wow.
And then I started to say, you know what? Now, I started to do corporate parties. Then the narrative started to change. I used to say hype is alive. Every of my narrative, I throw in that conversation. Every platform that I have, I speak about hype. Every single thing that I did, I'm like, I speak about radio and hype. Hype and radio. I'm like, you know, anybody doing anything larger than life, selling anything larger than life. A pastor is a hype man. A guy who's calling to try to get you on a bus to get to the next place and saying, oh, we're going there. Please jump on the bus. We're going to Nairobi. That's a hype man. He's selling anything larger than life.
Yes.
Absolutely.
At the local market, it's hype.
Yeah. So I made it a commercial success. Anybody doing it now beats off anything that I've done. It's a thing that I started to say, you know what? You can be a hype man behind an artist. And shout out to people like Vector the Viper. Vector said, bro, I've seen you work. Come and hype for me at the industry night. And then I'm like, okay, I can be as big as the artist. And then I'm on the mic, I'm like, who's this guy? You know, and then afterwards, Olamide called me and said, you know what? I want us to do stuff together. Then Olamide used to call my name. That's when the popularity of mentioning your name on songs, you know, then, you know, when they shout you out, like American rappers do, Olamide was one of the first guys. Used to Vector 2 did that. So there's a song you probably heard, like, that Olamide said when he said the high party poju. Dotsunku lefem, high party poju. Emi gon seke, lambati poju. So what he's trying to say is, Dotsunku is a hyper guy, man. Your hype is mad. Just the same way I am when it comes to my pen game. Mm. I'm dope as well. So those things started to resonate. And those things gave me some type of street cred because I was always with him. Olamide was a guy who grew from the street. And I know the first time I ever met him, he came to the radio station through Tony Payne. And I just loved him. So at some point, you know, a lot of people called me, oh, it rocks for YBNO through radio because I loved them. And they gave me that platform. Shout out to him. And I started to tour with him. I did a tour with him in the United States, New York, Dallas, Atlanta. It was good. London. And that was it. We started to do a couple of shows, gigs, and we did concerts together. And at some point, I realized I'm starting to grow this thing. And then I started to outgrow being behind an artist.
Mm.
And then we had a conversation about it. And then I moved into doing my own thing. So you know what? An hype maker could be anything. That's how I commercialized it. I've done a lot of parties, gigs. My motto is I'm going to raise the dead. That's my motto. I don't care how dead the party is. I don't care how dead it is. And
everybody
then,
has to wake
nah,
up.
Nah, you got to wake up. And that's what it was for me. So, and now I'm here in Kenya for a different reason entirely.
To raise all the Kenyans from their sleep.
No, so the thing is, Kenya is a beautiful place.
Thank you. The
culture is amazing, and you love the weather. Whether you like it or not, I always tell people sometimes from the flag that you have, look at the beauty of your country from your flag. Kenya, with even the way the design, it can be made into a lot of things. And now you guys have good weather as well. And then I also see that the oneness in language, you know, it's not you just speaking one language. In Nigeria, there's so much diversity. You have hundreds of languages. It's like the Tower of Babel. You get what I'm saying? But you guys speak the same language, not just in the country.
Yeah, in the region.
In the region.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. Very powerful. If we can all speak the same language. And that's how you see when East Africans come for you,
they really come for you. It's always like a Kenya versus Nigeria.
So it's always happening. Even Kenya. It's like East Africa versus. So he's like, whatever everybody's doing in a country, everybody's just joining.
Yeah.
Because now you're speaking, I can understand your language. Even if I am in Tanzania or
of
I am
course.
In
Uganda,
I think Malawi.
Yes.
Yeah. We can understand ourselves. And I think that's it. So for me, I felt like in that we have content creators that have built good numbers.
Mm.
You know, maybe not outside their own space, because we are Nigeria, we project more. We do not like our comfort zone. And then I realized at the end of the day, you cannot be in entertainment, growing all these things for yourself. Then how do you teach people that are coming behind you? And that's when I went into the business of tech. Tech is a different. Jay-Z, Nas, likes of Camila, shout out to the 21 Savage. They started to grow and think, you know, tech is there's a future. They might not see much, but people don't even know. I think Nas has shares or equity in Dropbox or something. Yeah. But people don't even know that. And then I said, you know, why would I build all of these things? It's time to branch into a space that changes my dimension and my direction, how I see things. But I want to be able to build something or grow with something that I'm already doing. And then I build the bridge with tech and entertainment and the creative space. And that's why I joined Old School. And then that's why we're in Kenya. Because I wanted to meet content creators. We started to sign up content creators across Africa. In 80 countries, we have over 5,000 students. They started with doing courses on coding and non-coding programs like product design, product marketing, and all that, data analysis, back-end engineering, front-end engineering. And you realize that, you know, these are marketable skills in every part of the world, from remote jobs, because you see that they tell you, people don't even expect you to go to the four walls of the school. You have a degree in certain things, you get a job in any part of the world.
Mm.
And these were the kind of courses they started with. And then we now started to realize that, you know, creativity is growing up and is untapped.
Mm.
East Africa have a lot of talented people. I spoke about Southie Soul. There is no way in this world that Southie Soul would have a big song like with Burna, or have done great songs with the biggest stars, and they're not shooting out concerts in the whole of Africa. They should be doing stadium tours in Africa. I'm not saying outside, but that's what she should be. It takes you just one song. Nigerians do, they go out with just one song.
And they do go tours. To the whole world with
absolutely.
One song.
I can give
let alone Africa.
I can give you examples. Spyro did a song, Who's Your Guy? He did a tour in London. That's why you don't sing your comfort zone. You don't. And I see that at the end of the day, why do I have to wait for them to come? Why can't I come here and meet them? And that's why I'm here to talk to content creators and, you know, people who are pundits and people who create content in music as well and all that, anybody. So it's also a platform where you can teach these things. So you can grow community. You cannot start or grow anything by yourself. You have a community of people that actually resonate with your ideas, your values, your norms. Look at Travis Scott. It's not the music. It's him. It's just the persona. His fans behave like him.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It's him. So the thing is, that's why music is more than music now. It's a culture and it's value exchange.
I love it. I mean, I always say that when I started my career in the industry, I don't know, I think 13 years ago, internet wasn't even such a big thing. You know, those days, traditional media was everything. You needed your video to be on a specific TV show, specific channel, and you had made it. So we've now transitioned from when traditional media was king and queen to digital media to now podcasting.
And thank you for, you know, when I made that call, I said, you know what, you want to go to Kenya? I have a plug. You know, sometimes when we build relationships, you're not sure where the person will fit in. I've seen your podcast, and then you've grown numbers, but now you're doing it seamlessly on a different platform, and now you're owning it, which you can pass any information you want without holding back.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the amazing Dotun all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Also follow Dotun on all the social media channels, and you know, he might just be waking you up from the sleep at the next event. We'll be back next week with yet another energy-filled individual. Thank you for listening. VIP Access Season 4 is proudly supported by the Australian High Commission.